You can turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Tonight, it's probably more of a Bible lesson. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. And it's about Jesus Christ, our high priest. And, we'll get into it, but it's something that as I went through it, I really need to be reminded of because I really need to be reminded of it. So I'm praying that it'll be a blessing to you. So let's, Noel, would you pray for the lesson tonight? Amen, amen. Let's read the 14 and 15. We'll start there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is, passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, as we are, yet without sin." You know, we have a high priest right now in heaven that knows and understands every one of our problems completely. And the point of this, I'll just go ahead and forget all the notes. I'm just going to tell you the point I want you to remember so you can get this. Too many times, I know in my life, as I was putting this together, I understand that we have a high priest, we have a mediator, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And I mistakenly account all of that to salvation. And truly, without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And we'll kind of go through that. But Jesus Christ didn't retire after he went back to heaven. Okay, he didn't go. I don't think he was on the flight to Hawaii with y'all, you know, scooting around the world. He didn't retire. He's still on the job. And what we want to look at tonight is how important and how much of our life Jesus Christ wants to be and is involved with that we may be taken for granted, okay? And if you're not, praise the Lord. But if you were like me, you take some of this for granted, the Lord likes nothing better than to get credit for what he does, okay? And so tonight I just want to kind of go through some scriptures and remind us of just who this high priest is. 1 Timothy, you don't have to go there, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. We know that our connection with God is Jesus Christ. That's how we get there. He's our mediator. John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So it's, you know, if you understand English, you understand that the way to get to God, to get to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. See, he's our high priest. A high priest is a mediator who intercedes with a just God on behalf of guilty sinners. It's that simple. We couldn't get that job done. We had a mediator that did that job for us. And Jesus Christ intercedes for us in salvation. You're in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself." I mean, when he went to the temple to pay this sin debt, his blood, he went to the real temple, the one in heaven. He didn't go to one that was, he says he entered not into holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Look at this. "Now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's still there. He's doing that. He's there. He's interceding on our behalf with God. And we're going to look at a lot of things he does. But it's happening now. He didn't retire. You're in Hebrews. Turn back to Hebrews 7, verse 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost," thank you for that, "that come unto God by him." Look at this. "Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He's still on the job. He didn't just help you get saved and then that's the end. That's all that Jesus has to do. He's our high priest and he's still on the job. So He intercedes. He pleads on our behalf. So we want to look. I got some things here that maybe we don't like give him the credit for, or we don't go to him, and he's the one that's doing these kind of things. So what does the Lord? What does Jesus Christ plead for from God on our behalf? What's all that about? Here's the first one. Go back to Hebrews 4, verse, we read 15. We'll go on past it a little bit here. Yeah, we'll read verse 16 and 17, or 16, there is no 17. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The first thing that Jesus Christ, our mediator, he's intercessory, he's interceding on our behalf with God for grace, for us, for grace. That's that throne of grace that we're able to come to in the time of need. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And I've explained it before, is, you know, there's terms in your Bible like mercy and judgment and grace and judgment, we all understand. Judgment is when God gives you exactly what you deserve. How many of y'all want that? No. I don't even want to be in the same room. I just soon he phone it in to me, okay? But judgment is when you get exactly what you deserve. Mercy is when God decides not to give you what you deserve. I'll stand in that line. But the best line of all is grace. And grace is when God decides to give you something you don't deserve. And there's not a one of us in here that deserves salvation. But he decided to make a way, and all we had to do is believe. That is an amazing thing. That's the crown star of grace right there, is our salvation. But there's another way that God shows his grace for us, and Jesus Christ is part of this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're real familiar with chapter 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want you to look at verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loves us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Look at verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace," how? "In his kindness toward us," how? "Through Christ Jesus." I don't ponder on that a lot. Today I thought about it a lot because of going through this thing, but God gives us and extends his grace to us through his kindness. And that is because of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you're not going to be there for that. So God, kindness. There's every one of us, if we would sit down and think about just the simple kindnesses that are thrown our way because of the Lord. Every day is full of them. I got a cheesy little poem here, but I liked it, so you just get to listen to it, okay? About kindness. It says, "He stopped to pat a small dog's head, a little thing to do, and yet the dog, remembering, was glad the whole day through. He gave a rose into the hand of one who loved it much. 'Twas just a rose, but oh, the joy that lay in its soft touch. He spoke a word so tenderly, a word, a wee small thing, and yet it stirred a weary heart to hope again and sing." Small kindnesses. And if you will just take the time to stop and acknowledge how God has showed you those kindnesses day after day after day, that is a form of the grace of God being bestowed upon you, and you are getting it because of your mediator. Jesus Christ is interceding with God, and these kindnesses are falling our way. The psalm is just full of the word loving kindness as it describes God. loving kindness. There was a teacher that asked the pupils to tell the meaning of loving kindness. A little boy jumps up and said, "Well, if I was hungry and someone gave me a piece of bread, that would be kindness. But if they put a little jam on it, that would be loving kindness." You know, we've got a God that puts a little jam on it. And if we just start to acknowledge that, we could really love our Savior a lot more, okay? He's still alive. He's on the throne, but He's still doing great things for us. And grace is one of those things that He pleads on our behalf. Go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll look at another thing. Colossians chapter 1, we'll read a couple of verses here. We'll start in verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." Here's where I want you to be, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. The next thing besides grace that Jesus Christ pleads on our behalf with God for is strength. We get grace and we get strength. And we get strengthened by His power. You know, well, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. A very, very familiar account of Paul and the thorn in his flesh. In verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." I bet you that was three prayer meetings there, wasn't it? Verse 9, "And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for," look at this, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf with God Almighty so that we can be enabled to get the strength we need to get through the things that we go through in life. Now, there's some seasoned saints in here right now that understand that life has a lot of very uncomfortable things that you need strength that's way beyond your own control. Some of you are young enough right now where you just think you got the world by the tail and that you're invincible and just enjoy that while you can, okay? Because the truth is that all are going to go through times where we need a strength that we don't have. And that's what the Lord is interceding on our behalf to provide us with. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory," here's that context, by Christ Jesus, "after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish," there's strengthen and settle you. See, God wants to strengthen each one of us. And I know for a fact that I will take all of that I can get. But I get that because the thing I want to keep pounding on, you get that because of Jesus Christ. Okay? We don't need to leave Jesus Christ at the cross where we got our salvation. He is on the job today giving us grace and giving us strength. You know the verse, Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You see the deal? David understood this. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, look at just, this is the story of David and Goliath, okay? We're going to just pick it up in verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, that's Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Here is a runny little David, and he is doing that. Do you think he's doing that in his strength at all? No, he is doing that in the strength of the Lord. And guess what? It worked. And I know there's been times in my life, which I'm not going to sit up here and divulge, but there's been more than one time in my life where I can testify clearly to you that I got through things that I shouldn't have and couldn't have lest the Lord Jesus Christ was there to strengthen me and help me through it. And those are the things that I want to remind you of and encourage you of so that Jesus Christ will get the glory for these things. Instead of David didn't beat his chest there, okay? That's the point. So as far as an intercessory high priest, he intercedes for our grace. He intercedes for our strength. Turn to John, the book of John, chapter 17. And we'll see the next thing that I've got here. No, Jesus Christ still got a full-time job doing these things. John 17, and we'll just start in verse 13. That'll work. "And now I come unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world," but look at this, "but thou shouldest keep them from evil." Keep them from evil. At that point, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to the God that he would keep us from evil. And I believe he's still interceding on that behalf and trying his best to keep us from evil and temptation. You have somebody out there helping you. You're not at this alone, okay? Look in Galatians. Paul speaks of an evil world in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin, that he," that Jesus Christ, "might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father." You get that? Are you getting the theme here? That it's Jesus Christ doing this work. That it's Jesus Christ that we need to deliver us from this present evil world and deliver us from the evil that's in it. Turn to Hebrews 13. I want to show you a passage there that is another example of Jesus Christ doing this work, that it only gets done through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Keeps us from sin and temptation. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus," there's your context, "that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Our ability to fight temptation, our ability to resist sin, our ability to be kept from the evil of this world, Jesus Christ is the one that's interceding on our behalf and helping us do that, okay? Without him, you know we were lost and we were in bad shape. So Jesus Christ does this work. There's another little illustration I got here. when interviewing Dr. and this is kind of old, you'll notice it real quick. When interviewing Dr. A.J. Gordon as a prospective pastor of a Boston church, the pulpit committee asked, "If you are called to the pastorate of our church, will you preach against cards, the theater, and dancing?" Okay, this is a while back, you know, at least 10 or 12 years ago. He said, "I will solemnly affirm Dr. Gordon." He was called, months passed, and he didn't say a word against cards, theater, or dancing. The official board of the church said, "Almost a year has gone by, and you have not said anything against cards, theater, and dancing. We wonder why." Dr. Gordon replied essentially as follows, "Gentlemen, it is true that I have said nothing against these things, but I have preached Christ, who is the only Savior from all evils." You get that? Yeah. It's Jesus Christ is how this stuff works. Jesus Christ is what's going to help us keep us from temptation. Let's look at another one. 1 John. I'll stop sometime down here, but the Bible's full of them, okay? Which is great. We serve a risen Savior, and he's on the job today. 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have an advocate. Forgiveness. There's not a one of us in here that doesn't need it. There's not a one of us in here that deserves it. But we get it because of our advocate. We have a, you know, we're all poor and sinners, and we have an advocate. It's like we got a court-appointed representative. But we got the best one. You know, if you're going to have an attorney, Jesus Christ pretty much is the best one around. And he's the one that is, when we go to the Lord to confess our sins, look at 1 John 1:9 right above it. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgives our sins, and cleanses from all unrighteousness." When that transaction takes place, when you go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for something that you have sinned or some way that you have transgressed against God, the one that is fighting your case with God is Jesus Christ. Okay? You're not in that throne room alone. You go to the Lord and you've got Jesus Christ on your behalf talking to God about forgiving your sins. And that's exactly why he's faithful and just to forgive them. Do you get this? What the connection is of how important Jesus Christ is in every bit of this? Without that advocate, without that mediator, without that high priest, we've got nothing. We've got eternal life. But it's quite amazing what he does. Let's look at another, Romans chapter 8. He pleads for our grace, our strength to keep us from sin and temptation, for forgiveness, and he also pleads for us to be conformed to his image. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God, that's the process of sanctification, to be sanctified. In your Bible, John 17:17, I think it is. What is it? It's, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is is truth." Yeah, God has given you the instruction book for your sanctification, but Jesus Christ is the one that's helping this thing get accomplished, okay? And as you've been taught before, your sanctification is kind of progressive. You're the second that you believe, your spirit is sanctified. And then we're going through a process right now where our souls are being sanctified. And then in the future, Romans 8:21, Romans 8:21, because the creature itself also has been delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And we not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's when you get that final, perfect, glorified body. That's the completion of your sanctification. But turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you this, the part that we're in right now, this sanctification problem, process also that we're working on right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. To get you some context, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's go up to verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So that we've got Jesus in the context. For all things are for your sakes, and that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, that's your flesh, perish, yet the inward, that's your soul, inward man, is renewed day by day. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you understand the fact that the second you believed, your sanctification process started, but it's been a long, ugly road for most of us. Okay, and it's a day-by-day process, and it's Jesus Christ that helps us through that process. Got it? Next one. You don't look like you're having any fun. I got all excited about this. Let's go to Romans. You're in Corinthians. Go to Romans chapter 5. What does he plead for from God on our behalf? Grace, strength, keep us from sin and temptation, forgiveness, to be conformed to his image, our sanctification. And this is a big one. This is one that we all want. We want peace. We want peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Okay? Turn to Philippians 4:7. There's another kind of peace. The peace with God is the peace of knowing. Some of you brought up in other religions where God is presented as a big, mean, bad guy with a big hammer, and he sits above you in heaven, and you can't get a hold of him, but the first time you mess up, he gets a hold of you. That you've got peace with God. You don't have that relationship with God anymore. And it's because of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7 says, the other one was the peace with God. This is the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. See, he's connected to every one of these. This peace that passes all understanding. I have had it. I mean, how many of y'all have got to a situation where that you were in prayer or going through something and just, I don't know, abracadabra, I don't know, however you want to say it without getting gooey-gooey, but you had a peace that you could not understand. And it's because of the relationship with Jesus Christ and his interceding on your behalf to have that peace. So it's one of the hardest things to explain is what this peace of God, which passes all understanding. What I'd like you to do is search for the understanding that'll bring you to that peace. And that understanding is found in Jesus Christ. Go back to Romans. I want to show you part of this peace thing. We all have troubles, okay? Romans chapter 8. We all have troubles. Verse 31, 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that a great promise? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at this, the next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That with him is Jesus Christ, okay? So we've got a God that is on our side when we have trouble. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, look at this, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, that advocate, that interceder, that high priest, when you got trouble in your life, he is the one that's going to God trying to get you some help for this trouble. He's the one interceding. He's the one that's standing there and telling God, these are your children, and they don't need the trouble. Let's figure a way to get this thing done. You understand that? You've got this. You're not alone. You're not alone. And that's, through Jesus Christ, is exactly how you get this peace that passes all understanding. And then we'll look at one more, Philippians 4. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. How? According to his riches and glory. How? By Christ Jesus. Your needs are fulfilled every day. Many of us think that we've got the big burden of that, but it's Jesus Christ that provides that stuff for us. He's the one that gives us the means to have wealth. He's the one that provides all these opportunities. And so, you know, if there's nothing else out of this lesson tonight that you get, I want to encourage you that we have a Savior that not only has provided a way for us to have eternal life, but has not stopped there. He just didn't do that and go sit down and play video games or something. He's alive. He's well. We serve a risen Savior that is on the job today. And when you need grace, Jesus Christ. When you need strength, it's Jesus Christ. You need help staying away from sin and temptation? Your helper is Jesus Christ. Forgiveness? Jesus Christ. Be conformed to his image, your sanctification, cleaning you up, setting you aside for a use for God? Jesus Christ. Peace, whether it's with God or from God, it's Jesus Christ. And then all your needs, does he have a full day's work? I don't know about it. He's full. His day's full just taking care of me. I don't know how he gets time to even mess with y'all. But we've got a Savior that is on the job today, and he's still there. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. Father, I thank you for showing me today just how totally involved Jesus Christ is in everything that we do. I guess that's why it says in the Bible that without him we can do nothing. And Lord, I don't want to do anything without him. So I pray that you'll help each one of us, number one, realize just what a blessing we have in Jesus Christ, and number two, never take advantage of it and never take it for granted. But we give you all the praise and glory for the things that you do in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.